The entire offense was pretty sloppy. Drake did not throw the ball well. He looked like very early Drake May last year, which is what you expect with a new offense and a new coordinator and all that. You know, remember there were times early in training camp where he's kind of struggling to come along. It looks like he's feeling things out. He's thinking a lot. And then suddenly things started to click for him. That's going to happen again. It doesn't mean he was set back. It doesn't mean he's going to be ruined for this year. This is the process.
Greg Bedard last week.
Trust the process.
Trust the process on
well
Drake
for the Sixers.
May. It did work out so well, Keith.
It's true.
Way ahead of the curve, those Philadelphia 76ers. It's a Tier Tuesday here on Jones and Keith. We're going to tier off cookout foods,
nice,
which hopefully you were sampling yesterday at your Memorial Day cookout. So we'll go through those at 11:30. Also, a 2 for Tuesday, tickets to the Red Sox and Angels. Your second chance to win those tickets, June 3rd at Fenway Park, comes your way about a half an hour from now. And Tommy Curran, Tommy Tuesday at high noon. Kiefer Madness at 12:45. Busy, busy Tuesday, as always, with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. That was Bedard last week for the OTA period that reporters were present at, Keefe. They're allowed to be at one of these a week. Patriots are having 3 OTAs a week. Reporters are allowed there for one of them. In fact, they'll be allowed at practice tomorrow. So we should have some updates on Drake May and how he looked. Mike Reese was not there on Thursday, but he did pass along in his Sunday notes that Drake May looked much better in the follow-up session on Thursday. He said one of the headlines from last week's practice, watched by reporters, was quarterback Drake May throwing 4 interceptions. One was in more of a walkthrough part of practice and also could have been part of a defensive penalty. He says of those picks, only
except
one.
Accept the penalty.
Yeah.
Accepted penalty, 3 picks.
Only one of those picks appeared to be mostly on May, an overthrow of rookie tight end C.J. Dipri down the field.
That's the first problem.
He then said May then completed 7 of his next 8 passes, and those who were at Thursday's close to the media practice, those who were at Thursday's close to the media practice, held inside due to rain, described him as sharp and turnover free.
How about that?
So
totally redeemed himself.
It's a good report on Drake May with no media there. That's just what? That's a team source saying that inside, in no rain, no elements, he looks sharp and turnover free. Let's see. When reporters are out there tomorrow, I'm curious to see if Drake May progressed from the 4-pick day. And I would caution anybody, if you don't want to read into these days, I'm happy to read into all of them.
Right.
If you don't want to read into the days, I'd be cautious to clap back too much and say, oh,
the highs and lows.
Well, just, last week wasn't a big deal when he threw 4 picks. He was turnover free the other day. No. If we're reading into the days, let's read into the days. Let's read into the 4-pick day and the bounce back. I hope he bounces back tomorrow when the media actually gets their eyes on it. And it's not a team source. All due respect to Reese, just reporting what he's hearing. But it's not some team source just telling the media what they can't see with their own eyeballs.
Yeah, I mean, it all counts, right? Like, and you could say, I mean, it's May. So what they did yesterday doesn't count as much as what they're going to do next month. And then the month after that and the month after that. You know, if they get into, like, joint practices and some of those reports, I'll look at those a little bit more. Or, you know, the few preseason reps where you get ones versus ones. Like, I think you'll look at that. I do think just overall, as it comes to Drake May, it's the most important position, the most important player. And when we all did our, you know, pick the record for the Patriots for the next year, like, a lot of us were pretty positive. And we're talking about the new additions, talking about the coaching, talking about the bad opponents on the other side. How good Drake May is going to be in year two, I think I kind of glossed over, and many of us, myself included, kind of assumed, oh, he's going to be really good. I don't know. Like, that isn't an assumption. Like, we saw some flashes of it last year, but I just don't know if there's any guarantee. And I would have said that whether he had 10 touchdowns or 10 picks last week. I'm just saying this year two jump of Drake May with a new playbook, a new offensive coordinator, a new head coach, and a bunch of new teammates, I'm hopeful that it's really good, but there's certainly no guarantee of it.
No, they're favored in 11 games next year. The over-under is 8.5 wins. I have them at 9. You have them at 10. Most people are pretty bullish on the Pats. I think for them to get to those level of numbers, that win total, 9 or 10 wins,
he's got
to
be good.
He's got to be good. And I would, obviously, I'm betting on him being good. I have them for 9 wins. You have them for 10. So we're expecting him to be good, but I don't think it's a lock. And people are acting like it's a lock. And yesterday should have just poured some cold water on that. Or I'm sorry, last week should have poured some cold water on that. Now, if he goes and lights it up tomorrow, big bounce back performance, Maybe he's getting more comfortable in the offense. Maybe last week was just a bad day. I'll say all those things. If he has another three-pick day tomorrow, then we're going to go, uh-oh, what the hell's going on?
Is this going to be a year where it's him elevating the guys around him, or is there enough there that they can elevate him? Because as much as they improved it, I don't think it's that thing.
No, I think it's...
I think it's still him.
I think it's the first thing. He has to elevate maybe when Diggs comes back.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe Diggs is ready week one. I don't think he will be. But Diggs has the potential to elevate him. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, he's elevating what's around him, I think.
He's still the guy.
Unless Kyle Williams and Travion Henderson are awesome.
And not that these guys are bums, but like Brock Purdy and Tua, they're not the best player on their offense.
No.
Right? So, you know, Tua could throw a quick pass to Tyreek Hill, and it looks like a 70-yard touchdown, right? And Brock Purdy's got a bunch of guys, a bunch of all-pros. I feel like if this offense is good, we're not going to be like, man, Hunter Henry and Kyle Williams really took Drake May to where he needed to be. Like, no, it's going to have to be Drake May. Like, he's better suited this year than he was last year. That's not really up for debate. But when you're, like, grading it all out, he's going to have to be their best offensive player.
Let me give you another item here from Reese.
All right.
On the heels of May looking better. The Thursday OTA, where, again, just reporters weren't allowed in there. So these are team sources telling that to Reese, which good reporting by him. But I want to hear from the reporters there tomorrow. What does he look like? And not just team spin. Efton Chisholm, you familiar with his work?
Yeah, Keith? I've been reading about him. Yeah, he's supposed to be the next big thing.
Okay, this is from Reese.
Okay.
This is just an observation from Reese, OTA observations that he put in there.
Yeah, new wide receiver.
His take, not mine, undrafted out of Eastern Washington.
Yep, same place as?
Cooper Kupp. And Kendrick Bourne. Yeah. Undrafted
and Rodney Stuckey, I think.
Undrafted free agent. The guard?
Yeah, I think so.
Is Pistons that where he went?
I think Rodney Stuckey went to Eastern Washington.
I had a few shares of Rodney Stuckey back in my fantasy basketball days. I didn't realize that's where he went. Obviously, I wasn't a very good owner.
Yeah. Eastern Washington.
Eastern Washington. Kind of a high pick, right?
I like that poll. I think he was. Let me find out here. First rounder, 15th.
Okay.
Right in the middle of the first round.
Lower than I thought.
Just outside the lottery.
Right square in the middle of the
first
round.
Pretty good, though, for Eastern Washington.
Rodney Stuckey, nice career. Uh-huh. Undrafted free agent receiver, Efton Chisholm, the third.
Nice.
You're a third?
I am.
Nice.
You got distinguished, isn't it?
It is very distinguished. Got an extensive work in the slot and also as a punt returner with quickness and change of direction ability that sparked thoughts of an early career Danny Amendola type.
Okay. All right.
So maybe
young Danny Amendola.
Maybe Drake May will be elevated by those around him, Keith. Maybe,
it is
just
funny,
maybe,
though, that they set the bar that it was like, hey, he's Edelman or Welker. They're like, oh, he's Amendola.
Okay.
And it's also, still great. I mean,
early career Amendola was bounced. Wasn't he on the Cowboys and got cut and then wound up on the, like, that's a guy who didn't even make the initial team that brought him in.
Yeah, that's
maybe it's like playoff Amendola.
Oh, that would be good.
That would be real nice.
So Tom Brady throwing.
Maybe Reese was more careful with his words than I initially gave it credit for. An early career Danny Amendola bounced around a little bit.
09 with the Rams, 326 yards and a touchdown.
But I'm saying even before that, he was on Hard Knocks with the Cowboys and got cut.
Oh, just like teams.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
I thought he bounced around a little bit before he was productive with the Rams. Right. But look, if he's going to have an Amendola career, that's a great career. He could, 5 or 6 years from now, hang up on me in an interview.
If only
he's lucky enough to do such a thing, Keith. One more item from Reese, and this is actually separate from his Sunday notes, but I found this to be interesting. He wrote yesterday, state of the Patriots, how close the Patriots are to returning to winning. Kind of a big snapshot look at New England and where they've gone since they moved on from Belichick a couple of years ago, the Gerard Mayo experience in there, blah, blah, blah. He writes about the front office, and he says the changes, while not as extreme this offseason, extended to the Patriots front office. He said most significant was the hiring of Ryan Cowden as the team's official number two executive. Cowden had previously worked with Vrabel in Tennessee from 18 to 22 as vice president of player personnel. The blending of Cowden and John Steiker, Stretch, two of Vrabel's confidants, with the existing staff of executive vice president of player personnel, Elliot Wolf, and top aides, such as senior personnel executive Alonzo Highsmith and former director of player personnel, Matt Groh, now working more on contracts, has been an evolving process. And they go to note something you saw in Forged in Foxborough, where they were on the clock at pick 38 and they thought about trading the pick. And ultimately, the guard the Dolphins took, the pick before them, wound up having them stay pat and take Travion Henderson. But they were debating moving out of it and even going with a different player if he dropped to them, which he did not. But it's an evolving process, which I think is interesting. Matt Groh's been banished to just working on contracts.
Yeah.
And I think the fact that all those guys are still there, and Reese even says it's not a huge change in the front office, bears watching with this team. Like, they have moved on from some people in their front office. And the Wolfpack's still there, Keith.
Oh, yeah. He's all over this thing. So somehow, some way.
I don't think he has a lot of power. I'm not making a case he has a lot of power.
Right.
But he's also not just there ceremonially, because if he was, they would have fired him after the draft, or he would have moved on after the draft. Like, he's still there for a reason. What that reason is, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really get it either.
But he's still there with some of his other guys, including Highsmith.
So who wanted Will Campbell? All of them? One of them? Two of them? Like, just Vrabel? Like, because already, right off the rip, your first pick, there's a decision. Last year, we talked about there really wasn't one.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there was a case for a couple of other guys, but I'm sure if they weren't on the same page with the quarterback, Robert Kraft would have made them on the same page. This year, you had a million different needs. That was a glaring one at left tackle, but there was plenty of people that didn't even think he was a left tackle. So I wonder, you know, is Elliot Wolf like, hey, I really want player X? And then Vrabel's like, well, it's not happening. Because I still think Vrabel has the most power. But, I mean, Wolf's there. Wolf's doing something day to day. And like, to your point, more than Mac Rowe is.
Yeah.
Like, in another year or two, I don't know what their contracts are, but if Mac Rowe leaves the team, that's not going to be a big breaking news.
No.
But if Elliot Wolf's sticking around, that seems to be more likely.
Talking about the collaborative process in the front office, he said, I think it was a really good step in the right direction. This is Elliot Wolf, and he said this right after the draft. Reese is just resurfacing the quote. In our relationship as coworkers, because we have had productive disagreements for this to work.
Well, you need to.
And so my guess is Vrabel and Cowden and Stretch, they all wanted their guy Will Campbell, and that's what they did.
Yeah.
And they probably all wanted Trevion Henderson. Maybe Wolf wasn't as sold. Maybe Wolf would have moved the pick. And he's going along with it, but he's still there. And he's still there with a role in that front office, which I find interesting, if nothing else. You can jump in on this and the Red Sox as well, 617-779-7937. Mike is in the car on Alex Cora. Go ahead, Mike.
What's up, gentlemen? So here's the thing. I do not understand why people are so enamored with Alex Cora as a manager. You know, they keep talking about how he makes all the right moves and he's this, he's that. Outside of, you know, 2018, what has he really done with this team? And 2018, good roster and, you know, possibly some shenanigans going on.
Possibly.
This guy, I mean, his teams have not been good fundamentally. They've not been good defensively. They don't hit situationally. They strike out a ton. And I'll give you guys just a quick situation that came up this weekend that nobody is talking about because they ended up winning the game and it didn't matter. But if you look at it from an analytic sense, it made no sense. Bottom of the 10th inning, Orioles didn't score. You've got the ghost runner at second base in Christian Campbell. Duran is leading off the inning. Duran, who has been up and down and inconsistent, maybe a little bit better of late, but all you have to do is move the runner over and you have two shots at getting him home without getting a hit in most situations. You have Devers coming up the bat who everybody's falling over themselves saying how great he's hitting, except he only hits when the Red Sox are ahead. This was an exception, but if you look at the numbers, he's hitting .210 when the Red Sox are behind. Yeah, so he's hitting .162.
So, Mike, he ended up getting the walk-off hit. I don't have a big issue with that, but do you, in that scenario, Keith, where it's a tie game, you're the home team, so you can walk it off. You have a ghost runner at second. Would you bunt him over to third? You don't have two chances. He said two chances without a hit. That's wrong. You'd have another chance without a hit to get the runner home. Would you move him to third in that scenario?
No.
Me neither.
I probably wouldn't.
I honestly don't have a big... I have plenty of issues with
Cora. I mean, you also have three chances of just getting a base knock and you're winning the game.
So
with somebody like Campbell at second.
And it's Duran at the plate.
Yeah.
So I'm not giving up Duran's at bat. So I disagree with
that. Yeah, I guess maybe like if Connor Wong's at the plate,
sure.
Then maybe I'm moving the guy over.
Yeah. Trevor Story's up there?
No, please do.
He'd probably
lean into one and be good.
But right, depending on, but with Duran there, no chance.
No, not with Duran.
And they ended up winning the game, so not my biggest criticism.
But there's
Alex
plenty
Cora.
Of criticisms. You don't need to add that one.
So let's be fair to Cora. When he says, what else have they done besides 2018?
ALCS in 2021.
And, you know, that was a team that, I mean, did catch fire at the right time. I didn't see that run happening. I thought they might just lose to the Yankees in the play-in. They went on a run to the ALCS. So let's give Cora his due.
Yeah, because not to let Cora completely off the hook, because we're not. Like, we're definitely criticizing the season that he's having. But in 2021, so all these teams really since 2021, right? Because 2020 was the lost season, and he wasn't even there. So 2021 on, they were all kind of right around playoff contention. And then in 2021, they added Kyle Schwarber. And then they went on this long run.
Yep.
2022, 23, and 24, they either traded pieces away or like middled it. Like they weren't buyers at any point. They were in it at that point and then fell apart. So the last 3 years, their rosters were pretty bad. And if you want to argue that maybe you should have gotten a little bit more out of it, okay, maybe a little bit more. But those were some bad teams. I mean, look at some of the guys that they had like in the bullpen, some of the guys they had in their rotation, their lineups that they had. This is the first year since then. And actually, it's even higher expectations since then. 2021, I think that was sort of like a surprise that they made it as far as they did. So, this year, they should be good, and they're not.
So, but largely his criticism, like, what's Cora done since 2018?
Yeah, no, fair.
My answer would be 2021, but I get it.
Yeah.
So, I've made this comp before, and the numbers actually line up even better than they have in the past. So, John Farrell won a World Series in year one. Your guy, Keith.
He sure did.
But, like, do we give John Farrell a lot of credit, or is that just the absence of Bobby Valentine, like, pretty much anybody could have come in.
Yeah.
And getting Valentine out was as important as who you were hiring to replace him. I think Cora stepped into a very similar spot in 2018, except Cora had a way more talented roster.
Oh, I mean, the team was loaded.
Farrell had to make do with a much less talented roster in 2013. The absence of Valentine loomed very large over that team. John Farrell.
But then Farrell. Oh, go ahead.
Well, as I say, Farrell in 5 years, the team hated Farrell by the end.
Yeah.
And so the absence of Farrell. Right? You are on board with that, Keith.
I agree.
The absence of not to jeopardize your City Connect uniform. Right?
Oh, my God. I got you to check the mail room.
We got, yeah, well, you do have to check I'll that. Check long weekend.
Turf
good,
we'll up there.
Good chances up there.
Oh, my God. Extra days.
But John Farrell, by the end, like, the absence of Farrell was as big of a factor in them winning in 2018 as anything. John Farrell, in 5 years with the Red Sox, 3 playoff appearances, 1 World Series win, .533 winning percentage.
Yeah, what's Cora?
Alex Cora. In 7 years, now in his 7th year with the Red Sox, 1 World Series, 2 playoff appearances, .533 winning percentage.
Insane. Yeah, less playoff appearances in more years.
And the exact same winning percentage.
And we don't even, like, he would have wore it in 2020, but he wasn't even here. He gets to skip that one.
Yeah, that's a good
that
point.
That would have been him. Like, he, what was he going to do with that team?
That's a great point.
Yeah, it would have been him, too. So, yeah, the like, I remember, so 2018, there was nothing. There was, like, they were a wagon from get-go. There was zero adversity. 2019 was really frustrating because you follow up 2018. I know the roster wasn't identical, but, you know, sales and all stuff.
And Cora deserves a lot for that because Cora came in and he's like, we're not changing anything.
Yeah.
We're just writing a new chapter in the same book. Like, we're not closing the book. Like, Cora's attitude that year, I think, hurt them in 2019.
And I remember thinking in 2021 when he came back after the suspension or the firing or the parting of the ways or however that was, you're like, all right, this is the guy that people like. And I think one of the callers, like, why do people like, you know, he is good with the media. I think he's a good interview. And I think people like him overall. So you couldn't start any better. And then 2019 was not a good year. 2020, he's gone. 2021, I'm like, all right, this is kind of like a tiebreaker year. He had one good one, one bad one, one, you know, not applicable. And then 2021, they're pretty good. So at that point, you're like, all right, I think I like what we have here. But then since then, they just missed the playoffs, including 2 last place finishes. So a long way of saying it, he probably shouldn't get the benefit of the doubt that a lot of people give him.
And I don't think he's going anywhere, but I...
No, they love him. Not Breslow, but the Henry, Werner, they love him.
It's much more likely that Breslow's gone before Cora than the other way around, but they should not have given Cora this extension. And I said that in real time while we were interviewing him. Like, I was on the show that was interviewing him. I said that in real... Like, I would not have given him that extension, and I think you're now paying for it. And I don't think he's been a special manager. And he's really been no different than John Farrell at the end of the day. No one thinks he's a special manager. He went to Toronto, proved he wasn't special, and has never managed again. 617-779-7937. We got your feedback here on Jones and Keefe. We got Keefe for Madness at 1245. Tommy Curran on a Tommy Tuesday at high noon. We're going to tear off cookout foods.
Woo.
Hopefully you got a good sampling of that yesterday at Memorial Day cookouts all weekend long. So we'll do that on a tier Tuesday. Plus, another chance to win tickets to the Red Sox and Angels on a 2 for Tuesday.
It's Tier Tuesday with Jones and Keefe.
The GOAT!
It's a Tier Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe, brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. You can visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential, remodeling, or commercial building materials and supplies at Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. We're going to tear off some cookout foods in just a moment, but it's also a 2 for Tuesday.
What is it?
It's a 2 for Tuesday. 2 for 2 for 2 for Tuesday.
Let's roll.
Be caller 9 right now to the contest line, 617-931-0937. And if you have today's code word, give it to David. You'll score a pair of tickets, and you'll see the Red Sox take on the Angels June 3rd at Fenway Park. Again, caller 9 right now to the contest line, 617-931-0937. Have the code word, and you'll score a pair of tickets. Red Sox, Angels, Fenway Park on June 3rd. All part of a 2 for Tuesday here on WEEI. Two more chances to win on Jones and Keefe. A couple opportunities on WEEI afternoons as well. So we're tearing off cookout foods today, Keith.
That's right. It was the unofficial start of the summer yesterday.
Yes.
Cookout season is underway. So these are sort of your standard cookout foods that we're going to go through. Maybe some beverages as well. I'm sure there are some of you out there, you're like a Bobby Flay. You got some crazy stuff in your cookout. This is more the standard stuff you would see at most cookouts, I would say.
Okay.
I have four tiers.
Good.
Now, again, fluid. We can always add or subtract tiers. But for the sake of this one, we'll start at the top with goat.
The goat!
The goat food. The goat cookout food.
Yeah.
Give me that. Maybe not goat, but like you see that, and you're like, I got to get me some of that.
I want it.
Yeah, give me that.
Yeah.
The third one, frisky. Could the cookout food be a little frisky?
Don't sleep on it.
Yeah, maybe not your first choice, but then you're like, man, I kind of like this.
You want room on the plate for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there should be one in between this or not, but the bottom one would just simply be trash.
I think it's trash.
Toss it in the trash.
Okay.
If they somehow lands on your plate, you're like, I'm going to toss this paper plate and this thing into the trash.
I don't want this.
I don't want any of that.
Okay.
All right, Billy Lanny, you have all these different foods and beverages. You want to throw them at us?
I do. Up first, burgers.
Goat.
The goat!
It's not a cookout without a burger. You can do whatever you want with it. You can make a double burger. You can make a giant burger. You can put a ton of condiments on it. You put no I don't care how you eat.
Slide it. Smash it.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, in that order.
And then cry. But I'm in on that. I mean, burger's a no-brainer. Toast the bun. Don't toast the bun. Cheese, ham, whatever. I'm a cheese guy.
Ham?
Well, hamburger.
Oh, I was going to say, I was like, ham.
Yeah, hamburger. Ham. I assume it's made out of ham.
I eat it. I will say,
yeah, why not?
I'm gonna. It's goat tier food.
The goat.
I'm gonna eat it no matter
goat.
What. I don't love a toasted bun though.
You don't.
Now, if I had my druthers,
and you do, it's your cookout.
Right out of the bag.
You just like a cold bun.
Yes.
Or room tempo. Not cold bun.
Either one.
Outdoor temperature bun.
Yeah. Either or.
I like it toasted, but you are playing a little game of Russian roulette. If you toast it too much, that's in the trash.
That's quite a needle to thread.
Yeah, that I don't want it too toasted.
No.
I got a Goldilocks on my toasted buns.
All right, so burgers, goat tier food.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to get much debate there.
No.
What else, Billy?
Hot dogs.
Goat.
The goat!
This also goat
Yeah.
You? All right. I didn't know if we wanted any kind of separation between burger, because I like a burger more than I like a dog.
See, now you want to do a ranking. That's normally my side of the street. You want to power rank these.
But I didn't know how crowded goat is going to be.
Extremely crowded. I'm looking at this list. I'm like, goat.
I
love a good goat.
God, a cookout's a good time.
Our tiers is just everything on the goat.
I think hot dog is...
Got to be goat.
Is goat. What is your ideal hot dog condiments?
Okay, so I get lectured for being a child, but ketchup.
Ketchup.
Mustard. That's all I need.
Both.
Yeah, that's it.
You know what?
Toasted bun on this one or no toasted bun?
No, my preference would be no. I'm with Billy. I'm team steam. So I like a nice
toasted
steam bun.
Well, this... Okay, but we're outside. We're cooking out. We're not putting a pot of water on for your hot dog.
You can have a steamer outside.
No.
Yes.
No, we're grilling these.
I assume
this is a
my
grill.
Brother who does cookouts a handful of times a year, he bought a roller. Like he literally
like a 7-Eleven?
So like a 7-Eleven thing, because what the thing is
like a store 24?
Yeah, I think
he
holds probably about a dozen hot dogs, and then what he'll do is like they'll roll on there and then he'll toss them on the grill because there's a handful of people that like them scorched.
Well, now I know why you said goat. I mean, I didn't realize that's quite a setup.
That sounds real nice, yeah.
Yeah, I go ketchup and mustard. And I do the same with the burger, ketchup and mustard. That's a sweet combination.
Now burger,
maybe
I like
a little pickle.
I was gonna say burger. I like a lot of other stuff: lettuce, tomato, pickle, onion. I don't want any of that on my hot dog.
No, that's fine.
Yeah,
you ever had a Chicago dog?
Yeah, I don't like them.
So pretty busy.
Yeah, great. That's the right word. Too busy.
It's pretty busy.
Too much going on. Tomatoes? Don't.
Yeah,
you?
I had one to be polite.
Yeah,
I was like, I'll have a Chicago dog.
I guess I'll eat this.
Went in Chicago, so I had that. All right, I'll go goat tier.
Go burger hot dog.
Sausages.
That's a gimme that.
I'm a gimme that.
Yeah, okay.
I'm a gimme that. You can go sausage patty, go sausage link. You get like how many? We got a hot dog
breakfast?
Bun.
Yeah, at a cookout.
What do you mean?
At a cookout?
You well, also
a,
with the
you
cookout.
You do a patty?
A patty at a cookout?
Yeah, because then you put it right in the burger bun.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
I mean, I like the idea of it. Never done it.
Right. I mean,
I'm listening. I've never done it, Bill.
I'm not saying I wouldn't eat it, but just you show up to cookouts with people with circular sausage patties?
Yeah. Oh, you haven't lived.
Yeah, you could be
Jim Beam. But I was going to say, you're not talking like Jimmy Dean. Like, you're talking if somebody actually takes a sausage meat and forms it into a patty?
Well, some of them come pre-made like that. Like, you can get burgers already pre-made. Sometimes you make them yourself, whatever. But it's the same thing.
Right, we've gotten them where Whatever that is on a lower tier.
They're wrapped up. And then you're just flipping them on there. You're like, what do you got there? Is that a burger? Like, actually, it's a sausage.
I'm talking
same bun.
It's a sausage, egg, and cheese.
I'm not putting an egg on the grill.
Look, I'd eat it. I'm not saying I wouldn't eat it. I'm just saying that's not at any cookouts I've ever been to. Sausage Link.
And the thing is, too, is there's hot, there's sweet, there's Chinese sausages.
Talk to me about those.
I mostly dabble in the hot
and sweet. Have you had a Chinese sausage?
What's a Chinese sausage?
Just a pink sausage that has the seasonings of like it's like an aso sauce, maybe.
All right. I'll try that.
You haven't had one? Neither one of these?
No, I don't think so.
I'm the crazy one here for saying Chinese sausage.
No, Keith's the crazy one for cooking up Jimmy Dean's at a cookout. But yeah.
Right, it's not breakfast sausage crazy. But wow, I didn't think I was on such an island with Chinese sausages. You butterfly a Chinese sausage, you let it char a bit, it's amazing.
It sounds good, Bill. I'm not against it.
Yeah.
I think you are.
E from Brockton, Chinese sausage is great.
Thank you, E.
Give me that. Where we settled. Give me that.
Sausage, give me that. Right. Apparently it comes in all shapes and sizes. But
I was not ready for that.
Yeah.
Okay, right. What else?
Grilled chicken.
So.
Frisky.
Yeah, okay, good one.
It's at a cookout. I'm not saying I don't appreciate a grilled chicken on a normal day. Right. Yeah, it's just at a cookout.
You want a special occasion
I'm grabbing
cookout.
So many things before I'm grabbing grilled chicken.
Frisky it is. We can agree on that.
Yeah.
Ribs.
Ribs.
No.
So,
Nick.
No.
I love a rack of ribs.
Okay. Well, also, this one to me isn't super common.
Right.
Or at least at the cookouts I go to. Maybe all you guys do is cook out ribs, and I apologize.
Yeah.
For the rib people out there.
The smokers.
For big ribs.
Everybody's got a friend who smokes, and they're going on and on about the ribs.
Right. Just constantly.
We get it. All weekend.
Seriously, it took 8 hours. I got it. You put it in the wood chips. I get it. Great. Just give me. It's also
Joe's like, I put this hot dog in the microwave. 30 seconds.
Internal temperature, blah, blah, blah.
Seriously, yeah. But a rib is a lot of work. It's too much work for not enough rewards.
Yeah, are you cooking it or are you just eating it?
Well, I guess
No, but it's because me and Jones are team boneless.
No, too much. That's also true. No, children. Too much work to eat around. I'm not even talking about the cooking it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying it's a lot of work to eat the thing and make a big mess, and it's not even that much of a give me that. Are you thinking lower than
I was thinking more frisky.
I'll go frisky. Let's do it. We're going to get blowback on this, but that's
because I think if all of these things were at a cookout,
genius
I might not even have
walks alone, Keith. I'm with you on
this. I might not even eat it. If all of this stuff is there, I'm like two burgers, two dogs in, and I'm
hold
like,
hold that.
I don't eat. Yeah. Hold that.
Hold that. Yeah, okay. Well, we'll put that on a frisky tier. I think we're going to get a lot of blowback on this, but I like it.
Kebabs.
Maybe in the trash.
Hold on a second. I'm not wild about kebabs either, but you have steak on there?
Yeah.
A little vegetable? That's not selling.
If ribs are too much work, kebab is way too much work.
Look, I'm not saying I wouldn't eat it on a general day of the year, but if it's burgers over here and dogs over there and ribs and
this
chicken.
This guy's got a whole skewer.
The kebab's sitting in a pile. I'm not
touching
that.
What are you doing? What do you want me to do with skewers?
Yeah, throw that in the trash.
You keeping the skewers?
I got to just toss them.
What are you doing? I don't even want to.
I'm tossing the skewers.
Trash.
Yeah. Chips.
Ooh.
Goat.
Go.
Chips? I mean, chips? Mm. I can get a whole bag of chips. There's all different kinds of chips.
Sure, that's true.
Right?
Yeah.
Potato.
Corn.
Tortilla.
Corn. Tortilla. Yeah. Yeah, sure. You got our Fritos.
Yep.
Fritos.
Banana.
Mm. Banana chips.
Banana chip.
I think, maybe give me that.
Cow chip.
Maybe.
All kinds of chips.
Cape Cod chips. You get the jalapeno chips.
I would argue give me that.
Give me that.
Give me that.
Because it is more of a it's a complimentary food.
It goes so well with these other items.
It does.
Yeah. You feel lost without it.
You need it on the plate.
I agree.
But it's just I'm eating.
Where are the chips?
The burger, the dog. I'm getting to those first.
Yep.
Pasta salad.
All right. Now we're getting to what I would start to argue is goat tier, these next two.
Oh, interesting.
I like the salads at my cookout.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah, mayo forward, yes. Thank
I would
you
very
much.
Say pasta salad would be gimme that.
Okay.
Like a good gimme that.
You're saying there's another salad you prefer?
No. Oh. I'm a big proponent of salads, but not cookout
I didn't like
salads.
How that sounded either, guys.
I'm a tuna salad. I'm a egg salad. Sure. I'm a seafood salad. I'm a chicken salad. But these are all at, lunchtime indoors.
Okay.
Pasta sitting in a bowl outside in the summer.
Yeah, that's not great. Like, how does it keep? Are you going inside, so outside?
Something about that's nice. Get that nice and room temp.
This is
I
real
like
warm.
That.
This baby is real warm.
I like it. I kind of like it.
Like Michael in the office when he brought the potato salad to the business meeting.
Kind of stinks a little bit, but that's all right.
Okay, so pasta salad, give me that.
I'll go give me that on pasta salad. And you got to get to it early.
I'll bend the knee on give me that.
As soon as someone walks it out, you got to get a scoop and then get out of there.
Get right in there. Yeah. Okay.
Potato salad.
See, I want to put this one goat.
I'd trash this.
No!
Potato salad?
All right,
I'm hucking in the trash.
We need a ruling, Billy. Judge
Billy.
I'm
going to go frisky with it.
Okay.
I can't trash it, but sometimes people butcher it with too many onions.
Wow. Okay.
Well, you know what? You can get a rough potato salad. That's definitely true.
Well, what is this, onion salad?
Yeah.
I didn't ask for onion salad.
Yeah, maybe
nice
I'm,
potato and egg stuff.
Maybe because they're wide range
I do
of
like
outcomes.
The eggs.
Wide range of outcomes on a potato salad. Yeah. Good call. But on a good potato salad,
yeah.
But we'll go frisky?
Yep, frisky.
All right.
Fruit salad.
That's in the trash.
Fruit salad?
That's for the kids.
You like fruit?
That's for the children.
You need the vitamin C. You need those vitamins and minerals.
I'm a lost cause at this point. I don't need any of those.
It doesn't matter.
I don't need those.
You want to talk Centrum?
Yeah, it's too late for me.
So what if somebody like cut up like...
Nope. I go, hey, Lucas, here you go.
Oh, we didn't include watermelon. Should we put watermelon on this list as a separate thing? Or is that in fruit salad?
Yeah, no, put it in there so I can throw it in the trash.
No way! Yeah. Watermelon? Watermelon's the goat.
Out.
You're out on watermelon?
Yeah, at a cookout?
You can either have cubes, you can have the big slices, whatever you want.
All right, ready? You say goat, I say trash.
You can hollow out a watermelon and fill it with fruit salad.
Where does it go?
You can also fill it with vodka.
let's add one. See, now we're talking.
Nah. All
right, so what do I do in here?
All right, so we have two different ones.
Yeah, what are
you
doing?
Fruit salad and watermelon, on a standalone watermelon.
Okay, here's what's crazy, because I would trash fruit salad.
Yep.
But I would give me that watermelon.
Wow, okay.
All right, so that's what we'll leave it at that.
Let's do those.
Give me that.
Okay. So we're gonna trash.
Somebody's gonna put grapefruit in it. It's gonna ruin everything.
Fruit salad. Yeah, is this cantaloupe? Like, yeah,
hot as a rock. Let's load this with cantaloupe and honeydew.
And then we'll go Shopping watermelon. And give me that. All right, okay.
Coleslaw.
Trash.
Yeah,
I think it's trash.
I don't like it anyway. Even like the best version of coleslaw, I don't like. So let alone sitting out in the sun, coleslaw.
Right. If you're telling me I can put coleslaw like on something.
Pulled pork.
Yeah, right. Then I would want it, but otherwise trash.
Like a cup of that.
I'm with you on this.
You don't have room on the plate. We're getting into that again. So
I know Aunt B went through all the trouble making this, but I don't.
Oh, she brought her coleslaw again?
I don't want to eat it. Yeah, maybe sympathy.
I got a spot for it.
Maybe sympathy eat it, like kind of pretend to eat it over the garbage and just scrape it all in real quick. Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah, coleslaw.
Beer.
That's a goat. I mean, who's
beer out of the cooler specifically? That was my number one summer activity.
That is your favorite summer activity. It was such
a good cold beer.
Right out of the cooler.
Oh, it's so cold.
So nice. Yep. Nothing better.
No. Hot seltzers?
So this is not really my thing. I'm not anti them.
Give me that.
You're give me that?
Yeah, I'll give
on
me
a
that.
Nice hot day?
Yeah.
You're going to give me that.
Give me that.
High noon, a claw, something like that? Sure, I'll take one of those. Right. Thank you very much.
Lemonade.
That I'd dump in the garbage. That's also for the kids.
It is for the kids. I don't love a lemonade.
Yeah, no.
I
think it's trash.
We're going to put the lemonade in the trash.
Yeah.
With the fruit salad, the kebabs, and the coleslaw.
I feel bad for whoever has to take out the leaky garbage bag.
Just pour it on the lawn. Yeah. Don't throw it in the bag. Oh, God.
But that's where I'd
pitcher of lemonade.
What about the spiked
Dell's lemonades?
Well, then, so.
Now we're crossing over into hard seltzer territory.
Yes.
Yeah.
Spiked lemonade, I would consider sort of in that realm.
Sure. Yes, yes, yes.
All right, so I think we kind of nailed it once again. So our cookout tiers, in the goat tier, burgers, dogs, beer.
Yeah, see, that's perfect.
That's it.
Honestly.
Nailed it.
I know Billy
there ends the tier.
Billy wanted to put everything in the goat tier, but that's a perfect tier.
That's good.
Yeah.
Give me that. Sausage, whether they be patties or links. Stand by that.
Yep.
Chips. Pasta salad, watermelon, hard seltzer.
Okay.
I like that.
Really?
Maybe you don't. I don't know.
I did just to be safe. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if you do.
I don't know what it stands.
I don't know. I don't know. We need a. I'm not sure. We need a ruling on that,
it's
I think.
Bodily function. I think it's okay.
Well.
What's the bottom tier?
Because I don't say hard O a lot. And then I kind of screwed up on that.
Yeah. It's
all right. Anyway, the trash tier would be kebabs,
uh-huh.
Fruit salad, coleslaw, and lemonade.
Yeah. That's a perfect tier.
Yeah. Kid-friendly lemonade.
People are going to have a problem with our frisky tier.
I
can tell you that already. We're going to have to deal. We're not afraid of your criticism. We're not afraid of the
Terps working on that. So at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram, if you are a more visual person, you'll be able to see all these items in a tier.
Wow. Now, did we miss anything? Baked beans, corn on the cob, steak tips. We might have missed baked beans and corn on the cob.
Corn on the cob, probably.
Give me that.
And with steak tips, I think they could fall into the kebabs.
Yeah,
I think they could as well.
Sure. Let's leave steak tips off. Corn on the cob, give me that.
Mm, more frisky for me.
A lot of work.
Yeah, you're dealing with it. You need floss.
But
yeah,
at a
cookout, you don't like to eat ribs, you're not going to like corn on the cob.
Yeah, no, I would put it in the same tier.
But corn on the cob, I feel like, is better at a cookout, whereas ribs is better like on its own on like a separate day. The only time I like corn on the cob is at a cookout.
Yeah.
And then baked beans should be on there.
No. Baked beans?
Where would you put it?
Trash. I'm not a baked bean guy.
Frisky. Thank you, Billy. I like baked beans.
The love of
people
it.
Don't like me when I eat it, but I like a I like a baked bean. Right. So there you go.
Pretty
That's,
well done.
Cookout foods on a Tier Tuesday here on Jones and Keefe. Keep your eyes out for at Jones and Keefe on Twitter and Instagram. You'll see the tiers there shortly.
Oh, Terp's already got them out.
Nice. Terp, great work. He was into this one. Terp was living and dying with all these foods down the
Looks
hall.
Looks good.
We got Tommy Curran on a Tommy Tuesday at high noon. And we got news about Jones and Keefe hitting the road Friday in Newport. That's next.
We have a pregame on Thursday night in Newport at the Landing. And then the road show is happening at the Lobster Bar in Newport on Friday morning. Right on the water. Back deck, probably, as long as weather cooperates. And I believe that this week you get extended road show because Jones and Keefe are coming with us to Rhode Island.
Oh.
So they'll be there for pregame. And then they are going to do their show at the Lobster Bar once we are done with our road show.
Oh, I had no idea.
Yes.
Road show. Nice. We're going to be there on Friday, Keith.
We got invited to one. Very exciting.
The Lobster Bar in Newport.
Yes.
We're going to be out with the people on Thursday evening at the Landing.
Can't wait.
In Newport. Now, that's
Can't wait.
That's to the surprise of, some on the show, it sounds.
It definitely sounded like that. Now, I don't know. Maybe it's just my ear. But if you heard the reaction there, the live reaction.
One more time.
Let's hear it.
So.
So.
What is that?
I don't know.
What is that?
You're the one who you heard this live and you said
I heard it live. I thought I was like, oh, that's really nice. Greg is promoting the fact that we're also going to be a part of the roadshow on Friday. It was obviously news to Courtney's ears. And she made a sound as if to say, I don't know if I love it. that's how I read it. Now maybe I'm coming at it from a very different spot
Nick,
than everybody else.
Let me hear it one more time.
Play the beginning of Greg and then her reaction.
Yeah, if we could.
Get extended road show because Jones and Keefe are coming with us to Rhode Island.
Oh.
So
what is that?
You don't think
that's Do you read anything into that?
You don't think that's excitement. You don't
Do you think
that's
that
just,
is like, oh, I'm looking forward to this?
You don't think that's her being like, yes.
I think that's more her being like, why are we doing that? Why are those guys gonna why are they doing our thing? That's how I read it. I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I know we've had Courtney and I have had our differences in the past.
Yes.
Now she's feuding with Shime. I don't know if you caught any of that.
Oh, did I ever? Well, this is my first
time.
They
were really getting after each other this morning.
So does Shime go to these road shows?
He goes to like one or two because he's got to run the board back at the at the base.
But, like
but
Jackson,
he was the last one.
I was going to say, Jackson ran one last week, right?
Yeah, but I think Shime only goes to like one or two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was a little worried about that. I'm like, boy, if we're out the night before.
Oh, yeah. They were going back and forth.
Cut that tension with a knife between those two.
Now Shime's brother is like feeding Courtney false information and she's running with it.
Shime claims it's false information.
Yeah.
He was very adamant. I don't know if I'm blowing up his spot, but he was very adamant in the break saying that did not happen.
So basically,
I was not.
For those that missed it.
Shame eating Chick-fil-A.
So this is how I understand it.
Uh-huh.
For those that don't want to be caught up on all this. Shime is accused of eating Chick-fil-A sandwiches, delicious Chick-fil-A sandwiches. And he's saying he didn't.
Yeah.
And Courtney said, I have a source that said that you did.
Right. And the trigger for all of this is he ate suspiciously little at Trading Post,
apparently,
which
so.
those are delicious slices of pizza.
Right.
And he ate so little, they were like, what's going on with you?
But then Courtney outed her source, who turned out to be one of Shime's brothers.
Huh.
To which Shime's like, I wasn't with him. How would he even know if I had Chick-fil-A?
Hmm.
And so now it's a whole back and forth. Now, not to tell Courtney how to do her job, because that's the last thing I should be doing. She should, for sure, trust her instincts on this. She's gotten one source before, and she's nailed it. She's never actually nailed it. But so she outs the source.
This is a good source, though.
No, it's not.
You don't think it's a good source?
Do you want to get it caught up in family affairs?
Well.
No, we don't know what the Shime brothers are beefing about.
No, that's a good point.
And now you're trapped in the middle of this?
I'll tell
and
you,
now you're taking this kid's word for it, who you've never even met.
I'll tell you, when
dangerous
she,
game.
When
That's
she,
all I'm going to say.
When she outed the source, I gasped because it was a weighty enough source that I was That's a big point for Courtney when she outed the source.
So I know, which I'm sure the source isn't going to necessarily love, but she's trying to prove that she's right. But I would just say, you don't want to get involved in family stuff. You don't know what they're dealing with. Maybe he's like, I'm going to get Shime. This is how I'm going to get him. Because mm-hmm. she'll read any one report, right? Any one, like Volan style. She'll take it and run with it. So he knows she's going to say it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We don't know what kind of big brain play Kyle Shime is up to. We have no clue.
No, we definitely don't.
we can all agree on this?
Yeah, we have no clue. Yes,
at the very least.
Yeah.
So I was just like, man, if that's what you want to do, Courtney, God bless you. We'll see how it all works out. But the two of them were going back and forth. Shime was calling her out for all the misreports in the past.
Yeah,
she was like doing an impression of him.
Yeah.
Like
spot on, I thought. I thought it was a good Shime impression.
You're sensitive. No, you're sensitive. There's a lot of who's sensitive.
So this is now what we're in the middle of, Keith. Not only
I don't know.
We,
so maybe this isn't the best week for us to be going to this.
I don't know how we're going to handle all this. Never mind.
Yeah.
We got to be real careful, Keith, as the Twitch chat's already calling us out for.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We got to be real. We've not been to one of these. We got to really pace ourselves.
That's true.
Pacing myself is not
a
strong suit of mine.
If Thursday night gets a little out of whack, do we have a backup plan for Friday's show?
Yeah, but okay. But if they're on the air at 6.
The guy is drunk.
Yeah, no, right.
They're on the air at 10.
Just
follow their lead.
Just keep up.
That just means you can keep going.
Don't be the four extra hours. Don't keep going.
No.
Don't be the pace car.
No.
Just follow their lead.
All right. Well, listen, it's pretty interesting.
Okay. So clip all this for Friday when we can play it back on our face. We're hungover.
Dice has a good suggestion.
Heads on the table.
What? The only way to settle it. Courtney versus Shime, 9 holes of golf.
My money's on Courtney.
Mine as well.
Yeah, I would wager on Courtney as well. Yeah. No offense, Shime, but I would wager on Courtney.
I'm taking Shime in this Chick-fil-A gate, but I would not take him in 9 holes against anybody. Just so we're clear.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll take Courtney in the golf.
Look, you're very fair.
I'll take Shime on the source
You're
off.
Very fair. You're picking one on each side in this
See,
case.
I'm not blinded by this.
No, you're not blinded by your past beef.
No.
No. You're being very, very fair.
True.
But anyway, we buried the lead. We will be in Newport at the Lobster Bar on Friday. We'll be out the night before at the Landing. Thursday night in Newport, hitting the road. The Greg Show, road show after show is what I would call that. The Greg Hill Show, rather.
Yeah.
Road show after
show. Have like a brunch or a lunch with us.
Yeah. Yeah, come hang out.
That's what our motto should be. Have a brunch or a lunch with us.
You love sausage patties.
I do.
We could just be eating those like crazy on Friday. 617-779-7937. You'll have another chance to win tickets to Red Sox and Angels, 2 for Tuesday at 12:30. We got Tom E. Curran on a Tom E. Tuesday talking some Pats next.